Good evening and welcome to NewsWrap from BizNews. Today is Thursday, October 17, and I'm your host, Patrick Kidd. In today's NewsWrap, Franz Krenier on politics in Gauteng, Warren Wheatley on a controversial $75 million private equity deal involving the Springboks, the latest on the BHR Ponzi scheme, insights into the legal battle between MTN and Turkish telecoms company Turkcell, US election news from our partners at Bloomberg, and an update from Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gaitan McKenzie. Kicking off today's show, BizNews editor Alec Hogg sat down with political scientist Franz Krenier from the Social Research Foundation. Krenier shared some insights into the ANC, GNU and Gauteng. You can find the full interview on BizNews.
An attempt is being made in Gauteng to stage an alternative to the GNU. I think one view held in the camp of people who might be attempting to do this is that public opinion in South Africa to date has been utterly moderate and sensible and pragmatic. And there's very little demand for radical populism or populist ideas. And if you are a revolutionary ideologue, this has been a terrible failure on your part, because people aspire to live together in relative harmony, and the poor want to come to cities and get jobs, and no one wants to nationalize Discovery's medical aid schemes. They want to become members of Discovery medical aid schemes. And if you are a radical populist and you want to have any prospect of one day taking over the country, you need to change that. So you need to drive a determined policy of radicalization. And I think we saw one example of that in the incident around Pretoria Girls High. And if you missed that, a few weeks ago, some politicians in Gauteng manufactured a incident of racism at Pretoria Girls High and relied on the media, as regrettably it's often too easy to do, to blow this incident up. And a very interesting thing happened parallel with this is Thabo Mbeki actually went to investigate. And in the last couple of days, completely cleared the school of any wrongdoing, children or teachers involved. So I think we'll see a hard drive at radicalization.
Alec also interviewed AltVest founder and CEO Warren Wheatley today. Wheatley unpacked the controversy surrounding a deal in which SA Rugby planned to sell a 20% stake in a newly created commercial rights company for $75 million to Seattle-based Ackley Sports Group, LLC. You can find the full interview on BizNews.
Just tell us your understanding of what actually has been happening that has caused such unhappiness amongst Springboks supporters and rugby supporters generally.
I think principally my reading of the assessment is that a national team is owned by the nation, right? And for it to be bought by or any component of it to be foreign owned feels like we selling the family jewels or selling our heritage. So I think fundamentally that doesn't sit well with people. Then you can start getting into the granular aspects of the deal that a lot of people have found unpopular. For example, the unions wouldn't have any further profit participation in terms of the TV rights or match revenue or merchandising revenue, as far as I can tell. I must caution that I haven't seen the final term sheet, and so most of what I'm talking about is what's been expressed in the press from people who have seen it. But also the deal seems to be largely structured in the benefit of the private equity buyer. Now, the deal, as I understand it, is that the commercial rights of SA Rugby, which would include TV rights, radio rights, match revenue, merchandising, and all those, would be sold to a private equity company out of the US. They would structure a deal such that, you know, there's a big cash injection to SA Rugby, and it would be a sort of a mezzanine debt type equity structure. But at the end of the day, the private equity company would be repaid the capital they've injected and still hold 20% of the commercial rights forever. So the deal is not well structured as far as the major commentators are concerned. And there's also lack of South African participation, which a lot of people feel just grumpy about. And I think correctly so.
BizNews reporter Asime Anyide, who was at the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court yesterday, gives us the latest on Michael Haldane. Haldane is the founder of Global and Local and one of the primary accused in the BHR Trust Ponzi scheme. Let's hear from Asime.
Development that has left many investors shocked. Michael Haldane, one of the main accused in the BHR Trust Ponzi scheme, has been granted permission by the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court to leave the country. A court's decision allows Haldane to travel to Tokyo this November to visit a sick relative, despite the serious charges of fraud and money laundering against him. For the victims of the scheme, this is deeply concerning. BHI Trust Ponzi scheme, which has been called one of South Africa's largest financial frauds, has left thousands of investors in financial ruin. Yet now Haldane, a key figure in this alleged decade-long fraud, has been allowed to travel overseas. Haldane, founder of Global and Local, alongside his co-accused, Sona Pillay, managing director of Rubicon Trust, are facing charges of defrauding investors out of hundreds of millions of rands. Both have pleaded not guilty, yet the decision to let Haldane travel has left investors fearing that justice may be delayed, or worse, that he might never return to face the consequences. Many investors are questioning the logic behind this decision. Given the scale of this alleged fraud and the losses suffered by so many, why is Haldane being allowed to leave the country at such a critical time? Could this undermine the investigation or even give Haldane a chance to evade further prosecution? Outraged investors have already started contacting National Prosecuting Authority, demanding answers. They're asking tough questions. Is Haldane being given special treatment? What guarantees are in place to ensure he returns? And more importantly, could this move jeopardize the ongoing investigation? Investigators like Bart Henderson have pointed to a much larger network behind this Ponzi scheme. It's not just Haldane and Pillay. There are other key figures involved. One suspect, Katrinos Kost, has already fled the country. Kost is believed to be in possession of crucial records, records that could be key to securing a conviction. Convicted mastermind Craig Warriner, who is serving a 25-year sentence for his role in the scheme, has stated that Kost holds the client records of the entire BHI Trust. With Haldane now free to travel, many fear he could use the opportunity to connect with Kost and possibly manipulate evidence. So what safeguards are in place to prevent this? And why, in a case that has caused such widespread damage, is there a risk of key figures slipping through the cracks? The scale of the fraud is staggering. Millions of rands are missing, money allegedly funneled through offshore accounts and even laundered through casinos. Haldane and Pillay are both accused of personally profiting from investor funds. For those who have lost their life savings, lack of accountability is deeply troubling. As the case drags on, investors are left to wonder, will they ever see justice? With the next court date pushed back to March 2025, the question remains, is justice being delayed? And could this latest decision to let Haldane travel put the entire investigation at risk? My name is Asime Anyide, and you're watching BizNews.com.
BizNews journalist Chris Stain spoke to Cedric Sewell, the legal counsel for Turkish telecoms company Turkcell, who gave insights into their ongoing court battle with MTN. The full interview is on biznews.com.
May we go back to the beginning? Please tell us what these allegations are.
Sure. So in 2003, Iran puts out a tender for a GSM network in Iran. It's a huge opportunity because it's, at the time, it's a territory of some 70 million people, most of which don't have cell phones. So it's a really exciting opportunity. Turkcell, the Turkish telecoms company that I represent, puts in a bid. MTN puts in a bid, and Turkcell wins. And so Turkcell starts, doing what is necessary to move the process along and finalize the license and get the license. And our allegations are that while Turkcell is doing this with the Iranian authorities, MTN, not happy with having been a runner-up, decides to meddle and inserts himself in these negotiations by secretly talking to the Iranian authorities, promising all kinds of things. We say they promised weapons, sort of introductions to weapons companies. They promised to lobby the South African government so that the South African government would take a different position on Iran's nuclear program. And we also allege that MTN paid Iranian and South African authorities bribes. And all of this led to Iran essentially kicking Turkcell out and giving the license to MTN. Those are the basis of our allegations, and that is why we are in court against MTN today.
Now, what stage have the court proceedings reached now?
So it's been a very long process. The parties agreed to separate certain key issues on the court's jurisdiction, and the High Court in Gauteng back in November 2022. Issued a first ruling on these separated issues, finding in favor of MTN, essentially suggesting that because MTN had bribed, or we say bribed, Iranian authorities, that they were immune from civil suit in South Africa. So we appealed that judgment, and so we before the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein, and we had that hearing in August of this year. And so we are now waiting to hear, for the Supreme Court of Appeals judgment on those separated issues.
In an interview with Fox News, U.S. Vice President and Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris said her presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency. Our partners at Bloomberg reports.
Here's the latest on the U.S. elections, and a new national poll of likely voters gives Donald Trump a narrow lead over Kamala Harris. The Fox News survey from early October has Republican on 50% to 48% for the Democrat, which is within the 3% margin of error. Now, separate Quinnipiac polling in swing states gives Trump a 7-point lead in Georgia and Harris a 2-point advantage in North Carolina. And the vice president, meanwhile, has vowed not to replicate the Biden administration if elected next month. The Democrat nominee appeared on Fox News seeking to deflect criticism over the administration's handling of the border crisis and her stance on transgender rights. It was her first formal interview with Fox as she works to broaden her appeal to conservative voters.
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency. And like every new president that comes in to office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas.
To close off today's show and the last episode of the week, an update from South Africa's new Minister of Sports, Arts, and Culture, Gayton McKenzie. McKenzie kicked off a weight loss journey the day he was first appointed minister, and today marks the 100th day of his efforts. Let's hear from him.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Today is a very, very important day. I'm giving my 100-day speech of our achievements in the department and our plans. But what's more important for me, for my health, for my well-being, feeling good and feeling good about my weight, So when I was appointed by President Cyril Ramaphosa as the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture, I didn't look like the Minister of Sport. I looked like the Minister of Food and Beverages. And I decided I'm going to lose the weight. So I'm going to tell you exactly when I started, I was 146.6 kilograms. So I want to see what I am today. So this is what I've lost over a period of like 100 days. But this is how much I've lost in this time since I took a decision that I can't be an obese sports minister. Let's go. 146.6 when I took the decision to live healthy, to live better. So I've basically lost 15 kgs. I've lost 15 kgs in this time. In this 100 days around, I've lost 15 kgs. You can do it. You shouldn't stop. Let's go for it. 15 kgs. People, you know what? 15 kgs. I did it. And you can do it. Salute.
Catch new episodes of NewsWrap Mondays through Thursdays on BizNews TV, BizNews Radio, and BizNews.com. Also, don't forget to join Alec Hogg live at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for the BizNews Briefing podcast. The BizNews Briefing is streamed live at 7 a.m. on weekdays and can be found on the BizNews.com homepage. This has been NewsWrap from BizNews. I'm Patrick Kidd from BizNews.com.